Hey, Warriors, and welcome back to another episode of Warrior Within. It is now May, and this is my birthday month. I'll be 42 this month. It's also my mother's birthday as well at the end of the month. And so far, weather's kind of gotten warmer. It's in the 80s, but I can tell you this, compared to Texas, it doesn't feel as bad. I've actually gone on walks, and even when it's a bit warm, and it's not terrible, it is warm, and it does sometimes get a little bit humid, but it's actually pretty good. Overall, still working on my medical side of stuff that I've been dealing with, and insurance is just not working with us. I need certain meds, and I can't get them, so you can pray that they call it kind of tier help to lower the tier of the meds. So if you guys could just pray for us that way. Otherwise, I'm doing pretty good. Just living every day the best I can, and things in Discord are going really well. We had our second new Christian class, and it was a blast. If you guys are still looking to try to join a community and meet other men, I encourage you to join the Discord group. It's just growing. There's guys involved. There's people talking, people praying for one another, people just involved. And I mean, sometimes it just takes time to kind of connect, but you just kind of get to know people through conversation. I don't think this is a replacement for your church. This is not a replacement for anything that you might have going on in real life, because one of the goals is we want you to take what you're learning from the podcast, taking what you're learning in the Discord group, and try to build where you're at. So it's just a place that you can network and connect and just get growth whenever you need just encouragement, thoughts, you know, struggles you're going through, prayer. It's worth the time. If you are interested, you could join the page. You can email me through the Facebook page, or you can, if you're already part of the group already of the Facebook group, then you can ask there. There is links there. I try to keep it protected the best I can, because I don't want that to just be thrown out for anybody to just join. Because we got to make sure we're not inviting people that shouldn't be part of the group. So that's the best way I've been able to do it. Anyway, so last week we talked about faith and trust. This week we're talking about God's will. I think there's a connection between the two, because it's kind of what I've gone through. Last week with faith and trust, we got into more understanding the importance of knowing God. You can have a better understanding and having faith and trust in him. Just like, you know, your relationship with people that you care about, you trust them because you know them. And the only way for you to know them is by getting to know them. And so getting to know God, you're going to take what you're learning in scripture, apply it to your lives, and you're going to live a life with faith and trust. But now the next question is, and I've been hearing this a little bit more lately, well, how do I know what God's will is for me? Because all of us men, you know, growing up, we felt like we wanted a purpose. And, you know, we've talked about leadership, being godly, loving our family, especially our wives. But how do we kind of live our lives? Like, what is the turnout of our life that is supposed to be like? Because we've all dreamt, we have desires, we have hopes, but not all of us are going to be at what we think success should look like. We're not all going to be like a king like David and Solomon. We're not all going to be taking in a whole nation into a new land like Joshua. And we're not necessarily going to be like the disciples, where they got to spend time with Jesus and then they had to basically from scratch build a whole society of church. And then we're definitely not like Paul, who wrote tons of letters and went on missionary trips all over their world area and did all the stuff that he did. So what does God have for us? Well, I remember when I was younger, I wanted to be a superhero. I wanted to be a cop. I wanted to be a fireman. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that, a sports legend. I mean, at one point, I had hopes to be in the NFL. Because I loved football. When I discovered it, I fell in love with it, and I was a good player. However, the injuries that I gained from football didn't, I just did not, knowing what happens to NFL players if they make it, but even college players who go into college, there is that chance of getting seriously hurt. So I took a step back and I said, like, I really asked the Lord, you know, should I do this or should I not? And I did not feel the okay from God to step into that in college. But I was also in that time of searching for my purpose, because remember, we've talked about identity. Identity is a factor into why we are so much wanting to find God's will for us, because we think that's the identity that God has prepared for us. But to me, that's a misconception of understanding God's will for you. Because I've told you guys maybe this before, but in high school, you know, my plan was to be a PE teacher and coach while going for my NFL career. I wanted to have a degree. I wanted to get drafted. By this time, I was hoping to be drafted by the Broncos. Yes, that's my team. And after I was done, I was just going to go find some PE job that allowed me to be the head coach of a football team, and just I wanted to impact young men. I wanted to teach them about the sport, to love the sport, but also to be leaders and to be men and not be sissy, like I want to say sissified, or just I felt like young men needed mentors. So I was very, very desiring to want to be a mentor and help these young men, especially young men that didn't have a dad. I wanted them to know that they can use what they're being taught in football in their life. So it was very interesting, you know, where I went. And then when that kind of fizzled away after going to Maranatha, came back and I ended up not knowing what the heck I wanted to do. And I ended up doing drafting, got into drafting. My thought was I was going to be able to design churches for churches. And I had thought about going into become an architect, but that door just didn't, that was not the door that God was opening. In fact, what happened was during that time, I got into teaching with a youth group under a youth pastor and actually fell in love with ministry. And then the thing is, what was interesting is I really loved it. I just really liked it. And I started asking God, I'm like, is there more to my life than drafting? And he said, yes. Do you trust me? And I sat there and I said, yes. And he threw me into this journey. It's not what I expected, not what I wanted, you know, how the income, like how the outcome came to be, but I trusted him. Because we are told when we're growing up, dream the dreams, you know, TV shows, the streamers, the content creators, movies, all tell us all you need to do is just work hard and get what you want. Every protagonist we watch, they go through their battles, but they always end up getting what they want. The thing is, that's not necessarily how things work. And in high school, I struggled with understanding how spiritual faith and my real life were connected. Because I honestly thought that God only cared about whether I went to church, whether I was a good Christian boy, whether I obeyed my parents, whether I went to a youth group, whether I treated people the way I should. And I thought that's all he really truly cared about. In my whole mind, I had pre-planned my life and what I wanted to do. And I just thought what my life choice had to be was that I take what God has taught me in church and I just live the Christian life I'm supposed to while I pick my choices in life, whether a job, the school, my future wife, all that was under, it was like on my shoulders to make the right choices. That was a very hard thing to do, especially as a young person. I was trying to figure out my whole life And I just sat there and said, God, I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm going to church. I'm following you. I'm reading the scriptures. I am being nice to people. I'm being the good Christian boy. And then Psalms 32, 8 through 11, because one of my favorite characters, or I should say characters, but one of my favorite people in the Bible was David. And we go to verses 8 through 11 and states, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but the steadfast love surrounds the ones who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. This is why the Faith and Trust episode, if anything, make sure you go and listen to that before you jump onto this, because it will make better sense of why faith and trust fits into understanding God's will for you. It says in here, I will counsel you with my eye upon you. I will instruct you. I will teach you. Do not be like a horse or a mule, where they have to be basically spoon-fed led where they need to go. Why? Because he's saying, if you know me, you're spending time with me, you're walking with me, you allow me to lead you. Because the more that you stray away from what God has for you, you're going to be like the horse or the mule with a bridle in his mouth. But every time you try to go in a different direction, God's like, hey, he's trying to pull you where you're supposed to go, and you just keep trying to force that to happen. It's kind of similar to the conversations we've had where you think God's telling you to do something, so you keep trying to force it to happen, but you don't take a step back to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, because maybe that he gave you the idea, but you're doing it in the wrong way, or you're doing it in the wrong place, or you're pushing it to exist when it's not meant to quite yet. So you have to take a step back. This is why, David was known for the man who chased after God's own heart. And I wanted to be that. I wanted to be like David, who understood what it meant to follow God, to put his whole heart involved with God, to know God. And even though I was still in my teens and I was in my early 20s, when a lot of things changed for myself, I still battled with this because I was still trying to keep control of my choices while still doing the church thing, while still being the good Christian boy. And everything was just not working out. I kept being confused. I'm like, okay, this is your will, Lord. Then why is nothing not happening? This is why Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we've used this several times, but these verses were what God pointed out to me and said, understand this, because it will help you understand what God's will is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. All your heart, not partial, not some of it, all of it. Because remember, I wanted to be like David. And I wanted God to have it all. But I didn't understand that quite yet. Continuing in verse 5, it says, do not lean on your own understanding. Well, the thing is, when you keep control, when you keep trying to keep control, you want it to have it so that you can have understanding. So you keep holding on to things because you think if you let go, God's going to be mysterious and he's not going to give you straight answers and nothing is going to connect and it's just not going to work. So you're just like, well, if I give you this, then I won't understand and I won't be prepared or I won't be planned up, because you know what? One of the hardest people to actually break with God is someone who always needs to have a plan. Because those people need to keep control. Anyway, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I had to learn to let go of trying to control. And even though I was given these verses when I was off of college for my 1 year at Maranatha, it still did not click until later. Because in 2001, is I graduated from high school, and then that whole year into 2002, I learned about that those verses when my mom handed me this book that was actually more about actually dating than it was actually what I what I expected was not what I got out of that book off the bat. And in 2002, she gave me the book, and I read from 2002 until 2003. It was like February, March timeframe. And one of the first things that the writer is actually a husband and wife who wrote the book. He wrote one chapter, she wrote another, but he put in there and he had the example of they asked him, like, who would you date? Who would you want to marry? And he basically responded to them by saying, God could place 10 women in front of me, and I would not know who to pick. And they kind of looked at him funny, and he goes, I would actually fall to my knees and ask God, you pick. That was like the snap that just in my head, it just kind of came together. And then, you know, I was like, yeah, but Lord, you know, nothing seems to work out. You know, I like these girls, but nothing happens. I stuck doing drafting and I don't feel like anything is going anywhere. And then, you know, it was just kind of like all this stuff just kind of just kept piling on with the question is, but I don't understand what's going on. And once again, you know, that verse says, do not lean on your own understanding. But then he also then gave me the verses, Isaiah 55:8-9. He said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It all connected in like 2005. When these verses came, and the Lord brought these verses, because I had before this time, I had realized something, which is what we're going to talk about after the break. I gave God all, but nothing seemed to be happening. And he reminded me, because your ways, your thoughts are not mine. And I remember, there's also Psalms, I think it's 37, where it talks about, you know, the wicked will be tossed like in the wind like the shaft. But it says to delight, trust, and we've talked about this in another time. But that was another set of verses that came to mind because I wasn't delighting, I wasn't truly trusting in him, and I kept going back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, but I wasn't truly understanding what I was reading. Because the key thing in that verse is trust the Lord with all of your heart, not some. Take a quick break.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
You see, we need to look at ourselves like a house with many rooms. We have room for our romance. We have room for relationships and friendships. We have a room for hobbies, school, job, church, vehicle, life's choices, medical. But then we also have rooms for sins, hidden sins. And Jesus is knocking on your door, asking to come in. The first question at this point is, do you allow Jesus in? If you do not, then you're not willing to fully and completely follow Jesus. Not at all. You can't expect to live a life for Jesus if you're only going to church, going to that Bible study, and that's it. And then turn around and say, but I want to know God's will for my life. But do you? Because you're keeping control. This is the important part. What I mean by Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Because if you remember, Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? And he gave them just the two. But the first one, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. You will trust the Lord with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. You will have faith with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. See, the key thing was, I'm not replacing love, and I'm not trying to change the meaning. I wasn't giving God my all. I kept leaving some of those doors in my house locked up because I didn't want him to influence. I didn't want him to change. I didn't want him to send me to some foreign country in Africa, because that was kind of the fear that was going through my head if I committed to him. And as I was starting to fall in love with ministry, my fear was I was going to be this poor pastor who lived in some weird area, barely living on this church, trying to make ends meet while preaching to people at the church in Africa, Russia, or any of these dark, exotic areas of the world that, or cold areas of the world that I was just like, I didn't want to be there. Because after, he does say, because then the second one is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, when you love God fully, your mindset and how you perceive or how you see the world, because we talked about worldview, your worldview will come from the scriptural presence of the Bible that you have been studying, learning, and growing in, and that's how you see. And because you can see it with those eyes, you can see God's will for you, because you're getting more familiar of hearing his voice, his direction, his influence, his involvement, because the Holy Spirit is going to be like pushing you, encouraging you, giving you God's word. He's going to speak to you. He's going to show you direction, and you're going to know. And this is why it says in scripture, make sure you test the spirits, to make sure it's not a demon or some spirit moving you away from the truth to do something you're not supposed to. Because once again, it does reflect off of scripture when God is speaking. Because he does say, my sheep will know my voice. Because this response is key. Of why allowing God access of your house is vital. If sin's in the way, you're not fully allowing God to cleanse you. I'm not saying all those people that are struggling in sin are not allowing. The thing is, there's people that are holding on to sins. You need to let go. You need to repent, turn away, seek God. Those of you who are struggling, keep on giving it to God. Keep on asking God. Keep on, meeting with men that can help you, keep you accountable. But all of it is like, it's all connected to the gifts of the Spirit of love, kindness, self-control, long-suffering. The more you know God, the more you know his word, the more you're able to run away from these issues, the more you're able to cleanse these issues out of your life. A lot of times when people are struggling with sin is because there's still that influence around you, whether it's friends that are influencing you, shows that you're watching, streamers that you're connecting to, games that you're playing, hobbies that you're involved in, groups that you're a part of, conversations that you listen to or connect to, your job. Sometimes you might have to move your job if there is a temptation that you're constantly in because of your job to get away, to protect yourself. Think yourself like a Joseph. He didn't stick around. He didn't close his eyes or revert himself away from Potiphar's wife. And then, you know, continued to move on as if like she wasn't trying anything. He ran away. And sometimes, guys, doing the right thing does not mean everything is going to be hunky-dory because he did the right thing. That is the other part of this whole thing. So we ask ourselves, you know, why do we get confused, frustrated, upset that things do not work out? Well, here's the thing is, when we understand, hey, Jesus died for all of your sins, the complete debt of your sins, he didn't just forgive you for sort of parts of the sins. He didn't do some of the sins on the cross. He did all of the sins. But then you're sort of following him. And then you turn around asking those questions. That's the thing. You know God. You're going to keep growing. You're going to keep walking. Like last week with faith and trust. And we understood what that means. If we're understanding faith and trust in God, then why do we not allow him to show us his will in our lives and clean our house? Let him clean your house. Let him involved in your love life. Let him involved in the schools you want to be a part of. Let him involved in the jobs you're interested in. Let him involved, because if you allow him involved, that means you're building that relationship with him, because the more you're studying God's word, you're starting to see how God's word relates to your life, how it relates to your job, how it relates to the school, how it relates to your relationship with the woman of your dreams. It really was for me that I thought I needed to have control of my choices, but base it on scripture. What if I were to say to you, have you truly asked God to take command of your home and allow him access to everything? I mean, everything. Have you done that? Are you still holding on to things? Are you still trying to keep control? Because things that you might be holding on might be the reason why you can't see God's will, because you're still trying to keep control. So I remember when the president of Maranatha, while I was there, I remember doing this sermon, and the question that came out was, if Jesus was not in heaven, would you still want to go be there, be in heaven? Because the connection was, my relationship with Jesus was built upon doing good things to be the good little Christian boy to get to heaven. It wasn't about the relationship with my Savior that I was supposed to be building. Once, after that point, all the stuff I told you about in this podcast, those pieces came together. It made sense when that president asked that question now. No, I go where my Savior goes because I am following him. I still struggled with giving him control, and I still battle that even today. And I'm reminded in John 1:1-5, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome it. Why is it that I struggle to trust him in all these aspects of my life? He was there in the beginning. He knows everything. He understands everything. Why would I not want him to take control of my life? Why would I not ask him to be in every aspect of my life? Do I really say I trust him, but then I really don't? Here's the thing. The road ahead is not going to be easy. It's not going to be certain. By you making this choice, everything is not going to suddenly just come together. Or it may. Because maybe he's just waiting for you to actually say, God, take my whole life. I want to follow you, but I need you to clean it. I need you to make sure maybe I have to get rid of a room. Maybe I have to allow you access to this room that I've been keeping you out because I've been trying to keep control. And even when things start getting really rough and it just feels like, hey, you know, Lord, I have been honoring you. I've been following you. I've been doing as you asked. Why is this happening? He will say, remember, you said, trust me. And you're going to say, yes, I know, but why? Why am I having to go through this stuff? He's going to say again, you said you trusted me. And in the gamer's terms, it's let God cook. You see, there's a reason that God is having things happen in your life to teach, to train, to build up, to encourage you, to build your faith, so that you have a better understanding of what it means. To have faith in God means you have zero control over your aspect of your life. Whatever happens, you can't change the outcome. You can change your heart and your mind and how you perceive God. But what you can do is change by repenting, getting right with God. What you can do is study God's word to know him better so that you have a better understanding, as these things will most likely happen to all of us at different points, different levels, different aspects. But what he's asking of us is, do you trust me? And if you've been studying his word, you get to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I see what you mean about trusting you. Because remember, if we go back to all the characters or the people of the Bible and all the battles they've went through and all the struggles they went to, even though we get to see the ending of their story because we get to read it, we think to ourselves, man, David got to be king. Well, look at that. I know God gave him his promise and he eventually became king. But you're not thinking about the fact that from when he was told until he became king, he had to wonder. He trusted God, but he had to wonder. Man, you said I was going to be king, but I'm getting chased now. My life is like being threatened on a 24/7 basis. Man. We can keep living our life the way we want. We can keep on chasing after these dreams and ideas because we never bother to ask God whether they are what he wants. And we can give him partial control, but you're never going to really see the will of God in your life because you're too busy trying to create your own. Because you got to remember the main question of knowing God's will is, and this is from God, do you trust me? I'm trying to say it that way so that you don't think I'm asking you this question. God is asking you, do you trust me? Because you read his Bible, you read his words, you study it, you pray, things don't seem to be changing. So now you're like, well, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe things are not right. Maybe I'm confused. I'm like, sometimes when God is telling you something or trying to show you something, it's not always going to be like him putting a word on the wall telling you, stop dating that person, or get that job, or go to that school, or marry that person, or help that old lady. Help. Like, it may not always be so like easy and understandable. Sometimes God will put situations into your life to kind of direct you into the right direction, because if he goes too fast, you're not going to learn from it. If he goes too slow, you may not learn from it. So he does it in the way that he knows will get to you, so that you can hear what he's trying to direct you to see. But he's always going to ask the question. As you sit there and go, why? He's going to say, do you trust me? Then those whys are going to start sounding less. Still going to have that why kind of go back in your head, but you're allowing God to cook. You're allowing God to build up you. Because if he has a plan for you, a purpose for you down the road that you never expected, or maybe you did expect, it doesn't mean the road's always going to be A to B. Sometimes that road may take side turns that you weren't expecting, like me. I had to plan out. Once I got into ministry, I was like, boom, church, youth group for a bit. Boom, another church maybe, or the same church, assistant pastor. Boom, then I get to be a senior pastor of a church. Like, I thought that was how that's how the time was going to be for me. It has not. And that's what I mean. It's never too late. You're never too old for God to have a plan for you, even now. Even if you think you've maybe squandered the time, he can still use you if you ask. The key things of today are ask, give all to God, repent all to God, allow God to have full access to your home. 3, do you trust him? As he would say to you, do you trust me? And then 4, keep moving forward. Keep trusting in him, even when things are hard, because he has a plan for you. Let's pray. Dearly Father, thank you for this time. I ask that you bless it. I ask that you use it. I ask that you make an impact on these men and that you allow them to start chasing after you so much that when they are looking, they start seeing the will or plan that you have for them, because they're starting to see you move in their lives. And even if things get hard, they're still able to hold on to the truths that you have given them. Hold on to the faith that they have been built up in, because they know that you're with them. Help us all to remember the question, do we trust you? The answer is yes. I'll see you guys next time. God bless.